Can I have your attention, please? Can I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is daughter of Yishael Abel Shiloh Hawkins. I'd like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. Okay, it's now time to present the sons and daughters of Yishael Abel now enter the sanctuary. And I'll turn it over to the great priests of the House of Yahweh.
We're going to be continuing on our Gematria and Strong's Concordance search on the protection of Yahweh. But first I wanted to explain the Gematria to you. If you look at the Mark of the Beast, Volume 1, actually Chapter 7 and Chapter 9, actually goes into great detail of how this numbering system was created by Yahweh. He was inspired by Yahweh, and he had given this information to certain people in order to bring this numbering system forward so that we can use it in the House of Yahweh at this time to get a better understanding of the prophecies and everything that has been taking place in these last days. So again, that's the Mark of the Beast, Chapter 7. It's the number of the beast. The Mark of the Beast, Volume 1, Chapter 9, The Likeness of the Beast, or the Second Babylon. Again, as I said, Yahweh inspired these numbers, these books, the Strong's Concordance. If you could show me my paper. The Strong's Concordance, the Vine's Expository, the numbers in Scripture. All of these were inspired by Yahweh for people to write this information so that we in these last days are able to understand what is going on with the prophecies, and the overseer can teach us, and we would have a better understanding of what he's bringing forth. Now, I have another list of the 1909 numbers. Now, remember, the 1909 is tied to the Measure the Temple prophecy. It's also the number when you put the Yahweh's protection in the Gematria, the number 1909 comes up. So Yahweh's protection is included and actually surrounds these dates. Now, the other day I had brought forward to you the protection that Yahweh had given to the overseer and the overseer's family. His ancestors have followed the instructions that Yahweh gave them to leave where they were living and come to the United States. They came to the United States and they actually settled in Oklahoma, Texas area. At the time of in 1929, we're going to go over these dates, 1929 to 1939 was the time period that the World War II was being prepared for. Now, 1929 and 1939 both are under this numbering of Yahweh's protection, 1909. And what I'm going to give you an example of what was going on in the United States, which is a protection of Yahweh over the overseer and his family, and what was going on over there in Germany while they were preparing for World War II. Okay, now, as I stated yesterday, in Jacob was 10 years older than his brother, as the overseer brought out. So at the time of World War II, Jacob would have been old enough to be drafted into the war. But Yahweh created a protection. He created a way for the family to stay together. And it all starts in 1929 when the stock market crashed. And from 1929 to 1939, the Great Depression was actually enveloping the United States. And everybody thought that this was one of the worst times of the year. But this was Yahweh's way of protecting his servant in these last days. Because during the stock market crash, and then the Dust Bowl, everybody was leaving Oklahoma and Texas area, but pastor's family stayed. And this is what the government did for the House of Yahweh under inspiration. In 1940, there was a shortage of farm workers, and many people started to replace it, and many people stated that replacing these workers was hard to do. So what the men did was they decided that they were going to get jobs in the shipyards and the airplane factories, thinking that these jobs were so important that they would not be drafted. But the higher-ups had another inspiration. It says, many of the higher-ups, under the impression these workers could be replaced far easier than farmers and their expertise, came up with a deferment that farmhands and their families can request a deferment from the draft so that they could stay home and produce the food that was needed for the armies. Jacob actually used this deferment in order to stay home and be taught by his family and also to help to feed the family and the local areas. Now, the second thing that was going on the other side of the ocean was when Hitler came into power. Hitler came into power in 1933. He was actually offered the chancellorship in January 30th, 1933, which gave him almost 100% control over Germany. The person who was the Führer died in the end of July and the beginning of August, and on August 2nd, 1934, Hitler became the complete ruler over Germany and that area. Now, in preparation for this time period, he actually had a plan for the youth of Germany, and it was called Hitler's Youth. And what occurred was the Hitler's Youth was a group of organization that all the children in Germany and areas controlled by Germany had to join Hitler's Youth. And Hitler's Youth eventually came to be the way that the German's army could actually train children to become soldiers. The youngest child that was required to join Hitler's Youth was 4 years old. Pastor was born in 1934. The war began in 1940. He would have been old enough to have been indoctrinated into Hitler's Youth and been indoctrinated into the war machine of Satan if Pastor's ancestors had not heeded the inspiration of Yahweh to move to the United States, to move to Oklahoma, and become protected and taught by the Lamplight Studies. With this, I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be, please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with you. Okay. Today's the last day of feast, and I'm so sad, but I'm excited because it's the High Holy Sabbath. So I want to speak real quick about what Overseer said, just briefly, what he brought out yesterday, and the abilities that Adam and Eve had and the subconscious mind, but how it started diminishing because of the fact that they chose sin. So the abilities of their subconscious mind started wearing off, and dying, you will die. Now, he also mentioned the high priest and the power that he had to have in order to walk on water. And when you're thinking about that and the miracles that he did perform, he was fully connected with Yahweh. It's amazing. And the inspiration that he was getting because he chose the laws of Yahweh. But what's even, I find really amazing is the fact that Overseer is able to look in the scriptures and he's able to see these things. How amazing and connected he is himself with Yahweh to look and read the scriptures and be able to tell us what the scriptures mean. I mean, because of course, if we look at Genesis 1:1 and it says, in the beginning was the plan of Yahweh. In the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. But Overseer, he's able to look at that scripture, dissect it, and feed us everything that's actually in that one particular scripture. So that's mind-blowing in itself. In Isaiah 11:1, it speaks about Because we know that overseer is the only one who is chosen by Yahweh to do these things. And that's why it's so amazing to sit at the feet of this man. Now there came forth a rod out of the stem of Yishai, and a branch will grow out of his roots. The spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the reverence of Yahweh. There's nowhere else on the face of this earth. Yisrael Hawkins is the only man connected with Yahweh. So this leads me back to the point of Yeshua Messiah walking on water. And so Yeshua was walking on water, you know, nonchalantly. And Simon Kepha goes out and Yeshua says, "Come, Kepha." And so Simon, of course, goes. And then he got a little scared because of the winds that were blowing. So he started sinking and he cried out to his teacher, "Teacher, teacher." And then Yeshua turns to him, lends out his hand, and he says, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" So as you see from that story, any time that there is doubt, I used to remind myself all the time, "O ye of little faith, why are you doubting? Why are you doubting? O ye of little faith." So in Isaiah 49, I'm going to wrap all this together somehow. And he said, so this is speaking about overseer, "And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver he has hidden me." And overseer, one of the great kings in the house of Yahweh has brought out like a polished shaft. Is 1074. Looking down to verse 3, "And he said to me, 'You are my servant, O Yisrael, through whom I will be glorified.'" And if you notice, who gives all glory to Yahweh is 315, and that's the date that overseer was officially legalized as Yisrael Hawkins. Revelations 11:5, which also speaks about overseer. It says, "And if any among them determines in his mind to commit sin, the every word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets, like the two-edged sword of fire, proceeds out of the mouth of the spokesman of them." The spokesman of them. So the last one that I have on this page is the only spokesman is 1074. That's amazing. Okay, we have some more. "And the only salvation, the only way to receive salvation, we all know, is by obeying all the words that come out from the mouth of Yahweh," which is Yisrael Hawkins. Only salvation, 1074. And just to slip in real quick, 1074 is a license plate on this man's car tag. "Who has believed 828? If Isaiah... "53, who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed?" "Oil of gladness," you know, all the teachings that we're receiving, the laws and the prophecies that he is only able to teach to us. I mean, did y'all see the film last night? How amazing this man was and all the knowledge and information he has. It's just spewing out of his mouth. He doesn't have to try. It's just there. I mean, because he's connected. So there's nobody else that's able to do that. And if you notice on this one, every time you get in the Sumerian value 828, if you add at Abel, it always comes out to 1074. So not only is the 828 the date that he was birthed, but when you add at Abel, it's 1074, this man's license tag. Like, how crazy is that? So, I just want to encourage and remind or put your full faith in this man. put your full trust in this man, because everything that he speaks is from the laws and the prophecies. You know, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. O fools and slow of heart not to believe all that Yezhel Hawkins has spoken. And with this, I encourage you to continue to walk on water, and I will, if you would all please stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated, or you can be seated. Please be seated. I had a gematria, and I wasn't sure how I was going to fit it into the sermon, so I kept it aside, but after the last speaker, I think I'll put this one up first. Who connects us? Who connects us? The only one that is connected to Yeshua and to Yahweh, the 1074. So the title of this speech is The Ordained Authority by Yahweh. And I have a gematria up here. Oh, no, my first next one, yeah. Some numbers that are connected to Israel Hawkins is 828. That's his birth date. His tag number, 322, and his tag number, 1074. So when you see these numbers come up, know that they're connected to our great overseer. So our next gematria is the title, The Ordained Authority by Yahweh. And we see 2978, 2022, and 337. And if we look at the next gematria, we're going to see what that 2022 means in the Strong's. It means the mountain. And we know that mountain is Isaiah 2:2 and Micaiah 4:1. But in the last days it has come to pass that the house of Yahweh is established in the chief of the nations. So whenever you see that 2022, know that in the Hebrew that means the house of Yahweh in these last days. We have a gematria that proves that, Isaiah 2:2, and that tells you that it's connected to the overseer, 1074. And the starting of this last generation is 322 with our overseer. Everything, you will find everything is going back to the great overseer. Now, 2022 in the Greek comes from 1909, and we've heard that that means the superimposition, and it also means in the Strong's to pour upon. It goes to 1909, superimposition, and it, as you saw in the film last night, the overseer told us that that 1909, that superimposition, is the power of Yahweh. And what is the power of Yahweh? It's the strength of Yahweh. In Malachi 4, verse 5, it says, Behold, I will send Elijah, the law and the prophets, which is the strength of Yahweh. So in the gematria, we put in the laws of Yahweh, and we see 1074. Who is it in these last days who has brought the laws of Yahweh back? Who has Yahweh used to bring us to perfection through these great laws? And why is Israel Hawkins the power or the strength of Yahweh? Well, look at this next gematria and you'll see that Yahweh, Israel, is at one with Yahweh. And that's 322, this tag number again. Yahweh has this man tagged, and we have no room for doubt because we know that these numbers back up the scriptures that prove who he is. In Matithia 5, verse 8, it says, Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see Yahweh. Who is the one pure in heart? Gematria shows it's 1074, our great overseer. And I have another gematria here. It says, I am Yahweh, your heavenly Father. He's telling the overseer this. I am Yahweh, your heavenly Father. And when Israel, the great overseer, teaches us about Yahweh, Yahweh says to us, I am Yahweh, your heavenly Father. We're in that band together. As long as we're aligned in unity with the great overseer, we're in that band. He's the driver. Are you ready to take your seat? Yes. The number 337 that always goes with the mountain means alas, a crying out. Now we know that that rooster was the one crying out. He is the one that's lifting up his voice, crying out with his voice like a trumpet, showing the world their transgressions and waking the world up to righteousness. And it also means to take up, to lift up. Who in these last days has had the courage to lift up Yeshua and take the heat for it? Only our overseer has done that. And that goes to the number 303, which means 1 cent. It goes to 138, to take for oneself, to choose, and that Yahweh raises up the branch. So who is chosen? The Gematria shows us that too. The overseer. He is Yahweh's chosen branch in these last days. Yes, we need to clap for that. Because you know what? Without the overseer, where would we be? You know where you would be. You would be the same place we all were a long time ago. And we don't want to go back that way again ever. Ever. And why was the overseer chosen? Look at this next gematria and you'll see who is as Abraham. Who Abraham in Genesis 15 verse 6 was accounted as righteous. He was faithful. And our overseer is as Abraham, and so are we, because we are the seed of Abraham. Now, the last number in that gematria on the ordained authority by Yahweh was 2978, and that meant entrance. And Yekezkiah 40, verse 15, is the only place where that word entrance is used. But if you go there, it talks about a vestibule that you go through to get into the holy and the most holy place. When you go into there, you're going from the east, you're going west. West, toward that western light. Now, the only one that can get us through that gate and get us into that entrance is a gematria that shows you that. And that's 1074. And not only that, it shows you that we can get through that gate, get into that holy place and that most holy place with Yeshua through the laws of Yahweh, the keeping of the laws. And that 179 means forever, permanent. So through Israel Hawkins, we're able to get into the most holy place. Genesis 28:17 says, "This is none other than the house, the gate, the entrance to the kingdom of Yahweh." And as I turn it over, I'd like us all to stand and also repeat what's on the screen after I count to three. And I do want to apologize. The last time I put it up there on my paper, I had Abel in the middle, and I messed it all up. You all were in unity, so this is my opportunity to be in perfect unity with you all. As we say, one, two, three. Blessed is Israel Hawkins, who comes in the name of Yahweh. May Yahweh always be glorified through Israel Hawkins.
Please be seated. We're all trying to, seems very hard to get these words, so we got to really concentrate, don't we? Okay, so without stalling too much, I'd like to show you my first gematria. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. I put in, who is the only man who does the will of his father? And our overseer has been talking a lot about that, and he's been bringing out scriptures. But who is the only man who does the will of his father? The numbers were 494, 4283, and 2964. The first one in the Greek, in Strong's Greek Dictionary, 494, it says from the same as 493, Antipas. Now that should be ringing some bells here. Greek 493, Antipas, a Christian. And I ask you, we all know what Antipas means. It means against the popes, right? We've learned that. You can find that in The Lost Faith, Mark of the Beast, many, many books. So I ask you, who's the only person at this time who is strong enough and brave enough to go against the pope? Right, exactly. He is the one who is opposing Babylon in this time period, and the gematria shows that. In the ninth book of Israel, part 1, chapter 27, verse 8, it says, I'm going to just read the highlighted part that I've got here. It says, he was one of the Antipas, and it was talking about Kepha, as the word is used in Revelation, and we know that we can find that in Revelation 2. It says, which means anti-pope. He fought against the popes. Well, there was another who's prophesied to do so and who's one of the witnesses in these last days, Pastor says, he's opposing Babylon. And of course, there's many prophecies written about this person who opposes Babylon in these last days. Who is that? That's right. Now, the second number in this gematria was 4283. And 4283 in the Strong's Greek dictionary means to announce glad news in advance. Who is bringing these glad tidings in these last days? Israel Hawkins. So we can see he is the one who is doing the will of his father, is he not? So we've got Romans 10. I'd like to read Romans 10:15 just to clarify that. It says, how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the message of peace, who bring the glad tidings of righteous things. And that's exactly what our overseer does in this time period. Now, the last number in that gematria was number 2964. And I stayed with the Greek because I didn't want to bounce back and forth. But in the Greek, Strong's Greek Dictionary, number 2964 means to make authoritative. Make authoritative. And we know, remember Revelation 18:1? The Moloch that comes with great authority, the Moloch having great authority. So we also can see that this is the one who is doing the will of the Father, our great overseer in these last days. Now, I had another gematria, quickly. I put in, who is Yahweh working with in these last days? Because, you know, it would be great to know, right? Who is Yahweh working with in these last days? And it was number 482, 5455, and 2892. And this was so awesome because the first one, 482 in the Greek, it means to lay hold of, to hold fast to anything, to take a person or a thing in order, as it were, to be held, to take and to embrace. And we know that Yahweh has taken our overseer and held him up and embraced him because Israel Hawkins holds fast to Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And the second number was 5455, and in the Greek, 5455 is phonio. And it comes from 5456. 5455 actually means to address in words or by name. And we know in Isaiah 45, verses 4 and 5, that Yahweh addresses and calls pastor. He says, I call you by your name. And he even says, you didn't even recognize that it was me, but I'm calling you by your name, Israel. And it comes from word 5456, which is the word phone in the Greek. Isn't that funny? Because anyone that knows Israel Hawkins knows that attached to his ear, I don't even know if it like comes off now. There is a phone, a phone, right? And it actually means to address, saying or language, noise, sound, and voice. And remember Revelation 10:7, in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, right? When all the great secrets of Yahweh will be revealed. So we can see who Yahweh's working with in this time period. But just in case you didn't believe it and it didn't solidify in your mind, that last number, 2892, it means custody. Custody, that is a Roman sentry, the Roman soldiers. And we know that our great overseer, because he does the work of Yahweh and because he is working, that Yahweh is working with him in this time period, he was actually arrested and he is actually hated above all people for doing this great work. Hated by many, loved by us, right? Hated by many, but loved by us. Now, for my last gematria, I just wanted to find that 1074. So I stayed up 1,074 hours to try to... No, not really. But I put in, what is so special? What is so special? And you know what came up? Look at here. Do you see that? 1074. 1074. Do you see that? And do you see that tag there? In Exodus 19, 5 and 6, Yahweh says, now therefore, if you will truly obey my voice, we already know who is the voice? Israel Hawkins. By keeping my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me. What is so special? That 1074 family right there. You will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the children of Israel. And from the fourth book of Israel, Pastor says this is from the Reverence of Yahweh, number 14, verse 9. It says, there's a reason for you being so special to Yahweh, along with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the 144,000 that Yahweh is finishing up. You are special to him, and you will be throughout all eternity, that 1074 family. So it's so important that we hold fast, just like Israel Hawkins holds fast. We need to hold fast to Yahweh and remain one of the 1074 family that is tagged by Yahweh. And with this, I'd like everyone to stand, and I'll turn it over to the great priest in the house of Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. This time we get to hear from the great deacon, Michael Osler.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh, the peace. Legs, you can stop now. Oh. It's been a running feast for all of us. May Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Great feast it has been. This code search, you know, whenever I start a code search, it's set to go a certain way, but then Yahweh always takes it another direction. The title of this code search is End of Days. End of Days, and the skip, again, the skip is when you have the first letter in a word, and then there's so many letters or characters to the next letter of that word. So this is End of Days, and the skip is 5,782 letters between each letter of End of Days. Okay? So what we have, we're going to go ahead and jump right into it, but because this, it starts off talking about the house of Yahweh, but then it discusses some things that discuss a little bit about the peace treaty, but then it goes into something that it's just, when I saw it, I was like shaking, and I called Pastor, and we couldn't believe what Yahweh put in there about the relationship between Israel Hawkins and Yahshua Messiah. So let's get right into it. Okay, let's see here. Get my fancy pointer out. Okay, so we have End of Days is right here. End of Days. And of course, crossing End of Days is Beit Yahweh, or House of Yahweh. Okay, so we got End of Days and House of Yahweh. And of course, that's located in Clyde. Right there, Clyde. And of course, Clyde is found on Abel Way. Abel Way is found in Clyde. So we have End of Days, Beit Yahweh, Clyde, Abel Way. Now, this came up, and I don't understand why it came up in the order it did. So there might be something in there that needs to be looked at. But first, number five, the fifth thing to come up was Oslo, which we know is the peace treaty. Then after Oslo came up, begin 1934. So the connection there, I'm not sure what it is, but for your notes, of course, Oslo came up first, then begin 1934, and then of course Bill and JG, which we know are the last two witnesses. Now, if you'll all turn over to Daniel 9:27, that's found on page 681. Daniel 9:27, and it reads, "And he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years, and in the midst of the week he will cause a sacrifice and oblation to cease. Instead, he will cause the prevalence of the Lord of heaven, even until the destruction that is determined will be poured upon the desolator." Okay, Daniel 9:27. Now these were all connected together. And this was kind of interesting. Let's see if I can find it again. Okay. We have Rabim, covenant, 7 days, Mark of the Beast, 1976. So we have Rabim, Covenant, 7 days, Mark of the Beast, 1976, which we know our overseer brought out the peace treaty actually somewhat before that. That was in the Mark of the Beast in 1976, but we know that he had started putting it in the prophetic word and started addressing it and showing the people the prophecies about the 7-year peace treaty, the peace plan. Okay, so let's go back. Now this, let's go over to Zechariah, Zechariah 6:11. Now this is where it took a total change and was just amazing. Zechariah 6:11. That's, I get a page number for you here. That's found on page 719. And in verse 11, it states, "Take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Yahshua, son of Yahweh, the high priest. Speak to him and say, 'This is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold the man whose name is the branch.'" So Yahweh's telling Yahshua, Messiah, behold this man. Watch this man. Recognize this man and the works that he will do. "For he will branch out from his place and he will build the house of Yahweh." Okay, now note this next scripture. "Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory and will sit and rule upon his throne. He will be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace will be between them both." The council of peace will be between them both, showing perfect unity that only comes through Yahweh's laws, it only comes through the teachings of Yahweh's house and the peaceful solution, which is very important that we're in the peaceful solution classes, because the people that are taking these classes, and it's difficult, you know, we have things to do and we have obligations, but if at all possible, it's available for you to get the discs or to watch them. I believe they're on Facebook. So you can catch up or learn more of what Yahweh's trying to show us, because you see people in these classes growing by leaps and bounds, because it's a constant reinforcing of Yahweh's way and a constant reinforcing of the peaceful solution. But the council of peace will be between them both. Now check this out. This is just unbelievable. Okay, so we have Yisrael, Yahshua, and Yahshua. Then we have brothers. Brothers. Council of peace will be between them both, these two brothers. And this is really, really, really great. Perfect friendship. Perfect friendship. And the other meaning for the word perfect friendship was best friends. So Yisrael Hawkins and Yahshua Messiah are best friends, brothers, and are doing the same work, working together for the same cause to bring peace to this earth and one day all of Yahweh's creation. So again, it shows Yahshua's feelings for Pastor and how much he cares about him and the work that he's doing and how close they are, which is just a wonderful thing. And those two walk together in unity. Guaranteed, they walk together in unity. Now, one other thing came up, and it came up, so I figured I'd share it with you. Some time ago, I went to the South office, and something was left for me by the overseer, and they said, "Oh, it's down at the mailbox at the Squirrel Gate." I'm like, "Oh, okay." Well, for some reason, Squirrel Gate came up. It's actually called the Olive Tree Gate, but someone in the South office affectionately called it the Squirrel Gate because there's squirrels all over it. But yeah, for some reason, that came up, Squirrel Gate. So praise Yahweh. Remember, the Council of Peace will be watching the prophecies, listen to everything that's brought from Yahweh's house now more than ever, because we see things in the world rapidly declining, and it won't be long. We'll be with Yahshua, Yahweh, and all the saints who have ever lived on the sea of glass celebrating that great feast. So if you all please stand. At this time, I have the great honor again to turn it over to a great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom! Whoa, I'm sorry, guys. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. I promise them I would not yell into the microphone. We'll try it next time. I just get so excited. Are you excited or not? I hope my legs don't give out. Legs keep going. Okay, so let's go ahead and put up the title slide. And this is going to be part two of the divider, and we're going to call it the dividing of times. By the way, somebody asked, why do you keep using that JVI at the beginning of there? It's quite simple. Go back to part one and watch it over again. Okay. So let's go ahead and, if you remember, it was 1,674 days between Pastor's sermon about Jack Van Impe and the Jack Van Impe video that came out showing he was having these, these problems because they don't listen to the one cent. And, that's a lesson to all of us. You know, we need to believe into the one cent, that Yahweh sent us in these last days. Now, before I get into my sermon, I do want to remind you, yesterday we were talking about the number 1054 and the dividing. And something came up about the smartphone, so I thought I'd throw this in before I start. Can I have my first slide? 1054 in the Greek, it means place of apples. Place of apples, or house of the apple. You see the house of the apple? That's not a coincidence there. If you remember, the first Apple computer sold for $666.66 in July of 76. When Pastor wrote the Mark of the Beast, and remember, computer 666, y'all remember that, right? Now, I'm not saying throw your apples away. I got one too, Don't throw them away. What I'm saying is use them for the glory of Yahweh, and you won't fall into that 666 tag, okay? And I'm not saying you can't go to the Apple store if you have permission. All right, so let's go to the first slide. Last night, we were doing the sprinkling. The Kohans were doing sprinkling in the Kohans conference room. That was Yahweh 21. Actually, let me back up. At 8:15, we began the sprinkling, okay? And we always sprinkle Pastor first, all right? Pastor started going around the circle of Kohans at 8:15. And believe me, many, many witnesses saw this, and we can attest to it, all of us. We looked at our phones. We looked at our apples. And it was 8:15 when he finished. He finished at 8:15. Now, right after that, we got a call from the press room in Abilene, which is 8:28 in Gematria, right? And remember, 8:28 means I will make prominent the sprinkled. You remember that? I will make prominent the sprinkled. And 8:15 in Hebrew, it's amazing. It means a tamarisk tree. If you put in a tamarisk, you get 322. Do y'all remember who tag number that is? Okay. If you put in a tamarisk tree, you get 512. Does that ring a bell? Does that not show you that Yahweh's in full control? Remember Yahweh's I'm in full control dream on 5, 12, 15, which is a palindrome forward and backward? But that word tamarisk, it's used in Genesis 21:33, and read it off the screen. It says, then Abraham established a people which follow the laws of Yahweh. That's where the word tamarisk is put in the King James. But that's what tamarisk means. Established a people which followed the laws of Yahweh, that which is in the way of salvation, in Beersheba. The well of the seven, remember, or the well of the oath, the well of the seven, the seventh Moloch, this well that never runs dry. Y'all remember those things, right? No, you don't. That's why I reminded you. Okay. All right. And he named the place with the name of Yahweh, the Eternal Father. Okay, so it's talking about the house of Yahweh, okay? Now, let's go to the next slide. Speaking of the dividing of time. Daniel 7:25 says, "And they will be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." Notice there's a set time for certain events to take place. And as you remember, the dividing of time is 1074 in Gematria, which is pastor's other tag number, 1074. Also, the other number, 1095, means it's the Belshazzar, the name given to the great prophet Daniel when he went to Babylon, okay? So, showing you, you know, you can fully trust in the man that teaches about the time, times, and the dividing of time. You don't have to deviate from what he's already written in the Mark of the Beast. Stay with pastor. You cannot go wrong. Do not ever deviate from what we've been taught. Okay, so let me continue here. Next slide. This is the text of Daniel 12. Nothing is missing from that text. And when the only number you can really use there is 18. Well, you can use the other ones too, but I'm using 1841 on the left. Drop the zero. And it means Daniel. Yahweh's showing you, when you take the entire text of Daniel 12, that it's Daniel that authored that text. Okay, you can put your full trust and confidence in the book of Yahweh and the Moloch that Yahweh sent that's spoken of in Daniel 12 in this very chapter. Yeah, you can clap for Yahweh. That's amazing. I don't know how you could not think that that's just totally amazing. And I want you to remember something else. Strong's wasn't around. We didn't conspire with Strong's. You know, how do all these meanings match these numbers? How is that? Think about that. It's not just numbers. I hear all these things about, oh, these numbers. No, it's not just numbers. It's definitions. We didn't write the definitions. But we're in agreement with them. Okay, so the first day of this feast, Yahweh 15, pastor gave a sermon. Pay close attention to what he said. And notice he's not reading off a cue card. There's no cue card. There's nothing there. There's no funny stuff going on. Just watch. Go ahead and play the clip.
The 3.5 years that is about to go back into action, prophesied by Daniel, told to Daniel by me, yes, on the Sea of Glass. And I wasn't even born yet. But Yahweh knew me before I was born, as he knew you before you were born. The 3.5 years that is about to go back into action, prophesied by Daniel, told to Daniel by me, yes, on the Sea of Glass. And I wasn't even born yet. But Yahweh knew me before I was born, as he knew you before you were born.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and show the next clip or the next slide and look at the gematria of what he just said. Look closely. The 3.5 years it's about to go back into action, prophesied by Daniel, told to Daniel by me, yes, on the Sea of Glass, and I wasn't even born yet, but Yahweh knew that me before I was born as he knew you before you were born. Notice, the only number that's usable there on the left is 2097. 2097 goes to 2088, which means Zeh. Y'all remember that number, right? Pastor gave a whole sermon about that number, which means both sides, each side, one as well as the other, one and another, other on the other side, one side and the other. Remember the two on the bank, one side of the bank of the river, the other on the other side of the bank of the river? Y'all remember that? One who subscribes with his hand, one who surnames himself. Remember all those? Well, let's watch what it ties to. Can I have my next slide? If you remember, it comes from... Oh, by the way, you can find this in the Mark of the Beast, Volume 1. Notice the tag number there. In the Mark of the Beast, Volume 1, 322. Who is that? That's our last day's witness, the great Kohan Ishalabel Hawkins. Now, 1976, notice, it says this, see Hebrew Zeh 2088, the one, the other, speaking about the two witnesses in Daniel 12:7. And notice 2088 Zeh is 322. What a marvelous coincidence, right? And the only one that we can obtain knowledge, wisdom, and understanding from, notice, 2088. 2088, the two witnesses, the one and the other, the two witnesses. And particularly this last day's witness who's bringing us into Yahweh's kingdom. The great Kohan Ishlabel Hawkins there is pointing at his tag number 322. Now here's an example of where that's used in Daniel 12:5. Can I have my next slide? It says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others, one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other side of the bank of the river." And notice the gematria, one, the other, Daniel 12:5, 1962. Now, who would that be? We just heard about it from the great stars of Yahweh. 1962, what took place in 1962? The question and answer show, right? The one and the other, the two witnesses. Can I have my next slide? And here's the text about the question and answer show. Daniel 8:13 says, "Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said to the one that spoke, 'How long will be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice, the setting up of the Lord of heaven, and the surrender of the sanctuary, and the host to be trampled underfoot?'" Now, think about that for a minute. This is a question being asked by J.G. to Pastor Ishlabel Hawkins. I'll prove it in a minute. But that means he had the answer, right? He's asking a question, and he's going to give an answer. So that means this man has the answer, does he not? Okay, he spoke to Daniel, 1074. And notice it's also used in Isaiah 44:5, where it says, "One will say, 'I belong to Yahweh,' and the same will call himself with the name of Jacob. The other will subscribe with his hand and write, 'I belong to Yahweh,' and surname himself with the name of Israel." The one, the other. Remember the two witnesses. Now let's go back to the next slide. Next slide. We're going to go back and revisit Daniel 8:13 because this has been brought before. It says, "Then I heard one saint speaking." One saint speaking is 1074. That's the one who's given the answers. Okay, you can look up that word speaking. It means to give an answer. "And another saint said," 1062. 1062 in Hebrew means the firstborn. Who was born before Pastor? J.G. J.G. Hawkins was born before Buffalo Bill Hawkins. He's the firstborn. It comes from 1060 and it means eldest son. What a coincidence, right? Amazing coincidences. Man, so many of them, I just don't know. We're going to have to come up with a new name for that. Okay, so let's go back now to the next slide, Daniel 12:7. There's Pastor, Yahweh's witness, lifting up his hands to heaven. Y'all remember that when that took place? Some of you are still here. It wasn't that long ago. It was a long time ago, but it says, "Then I heard the man clothed in linen." Remember, Pastor's clothed in linen. He's totally clothed in linen. "Who on that future day is teaching." That's today. That's this time period. "When he held up his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and vowed by him," vowed by Yahweh, "who lives forever, that it will be for a time, times and a half," or that dividing time, divided time, "when Yahweh will have accomplished pouring out his power." You're going to hear more about that in a few minutes. Pouring out his power, or pouring out his laws, okay, into our hearts and minds. "Through his holy people, all these things will be finished." Notice, he vowed in Daniel 12:7. How do you get around that? It's not got my number there. Does it? You anybody see your number? Yeah, your number's there. It's 322. If you're attached to the witness, if you're in full unity with the witness, that's your number too. Okay, you can all take. Pastor never takes all the credit, man. He's so humble. Okay, but we're all part of that 322. But that's the witness Israel's tag that he was given in these last days. You know, after cars were invented. Now let's go to the next slide. Continuing in Daniel 12:7, remember it said it will be for a time, times and a half, when Yahweh will have accomplished pouring out his power through his holy people, all these things will be finished. Now if you look at the side note on Daniel 12:7 in your book of Yahweh, you don't need to do it now. I already wrote it for you. You can do it later. It means disperse. When it says the word pouring out his power, the side note says disperse referring to a flock of people. Now notice, the golden oil dispersed through. I don't see my birth date there. Do you see yours? I see pastor's tag number 322 again. Okay? I also see that number 1118 off to the right. I remember Revelation 1118 says, "And the nations were angry, and your judgment has come." Remember that? But notice, it gives us, there's also the footnote M right below it. When it talks about pouring out his power, that word power, the footnote M, says, see Isaiah 44:3, Zechariah 4:12, Proverbs 10:29, Malachi 4:5, all of these speaking about the strength of Yahweh, remember being the laws of Yahweh. He says, see also, now get this, see also, did Yahshua Messiah preexist, page 403 to 405. Notice, page 403, and did Yahshua Messiah preexist, is about the Holy Spirit, okay, or Spirit Holy, okay? All right, and that whole chapter that he just named there is all about the Holy Spirit. So go ahead and have my next slide. You haven't seen this one before. Pay close attention. This is you, house of Yahweh. This is not anybody else. You take the text of Isaiah 44, 3 and 4, and put it in gematria exactly the way it is. Notice the number you get. 2483. Y'all remember when the house was established? 2-4, no you don't, so I'm going to tell you. 2-4-83. 2-4-83. That's you. He's going to pour his power upon us. Upon us. Look at the number over to the right. It says 1894-6. If you just take the 1894, that means Abel. That means Abel, huh? Really? Now notice this. He also says, in the footnote there in Isaiah 43:4, it says, see Yochanan 3:1-4. Notice, children of 3rd Yochanan 1:4, 3:22. Really? Who's that? That's you. Notice, and 3rd Yochanan 1:4 says, let's read that. 3rd Yochanan 1:4. 3rd Yochanan, I'll read it to you if you don't have we don't have a lot of time, but 3rd Yochanan 1:4, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Notice, my children are walking in truth. 3:22. That's you, house of Yahweh? You're walking in the laws of Yahweh. Can I have my next slide? Zechariah 4:12. Remember it said in the footnote in Daniel 12:7, see these scriptures. It says, what are these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil through them? Notice, empty the golden oil through them, 2088. That's the two witnesses, right? Look at the book right there. Look at the two witnesses book. It's illustrating it right there. 2088, the one, the other. Israel empties the golden oil. It doesn't say Kohan Benjamin empties the golden oil. I don't see anybody else's name there. It won't come up 322. Can I have my next slide? Then it goes to Malachi 4:5, which says, behold, I will send Ilya, the law and the prophets, which is the strength of Yahweh, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. Yes, we're going to need this golden oil. We're going to need this before this last 3.5 years. We're going to need this power. Ilya, the law and the prophets. Remember 2483, the establishment of the house of Yahweh. The golden oil, 318. Remember Revelation 318. I counsel you to buy gold. This is Yahshua telling you, I counsel you to buy this golden oil, tried in the fire from me. Can I have my next slide? Let's see how important this is. Remember Genesis 1:27. So Yahweh created man in his own image. In the image of Yahweh, he created the man. In the image of Yahweh, he created the man. 1987, remember, meant, you know, the establishment of the book of Yahweh or the restoration of the book of Yahweh, 1987. The other number, 312, means to bring back word. To bring back the word. To bring back the book of Yahweh after all the time that they kept it locked up, right? It was restored to the house of Yahweh. And then 312, let's see, 1872. 1872 means an arm. Did we not just hear about this arm over here? It means an arm. And it's from 2220, and it means mighty power, shoulders, strength. What strength? The strength of Yahweh, the laws and the prophecies. 2232 means to sow, to plant, to conceive seed. Seed being offspring of men. Remember the two witnesses, the seed of the two witnesses. Can I have my next slide? Daniel 12:7, the next footnote, remember it says, did Yahshua Messiah pre-exist? Okay? Chapter 8. It says, did Yahshua Messiah pre-exist? And I showed you that's chapter 8. So if you load, did Yahshua Messiah pre-exist? Chapter 8, look at the number you get. 1993. What occurred in 1993? The signing of the Oslo. Remember? The beginning of the time, the times, and the dividing of time. Can I have my next slide? Let's revisit this picture from last night. At 8:15 p.m. outside the press room in Abilene, Yahweh 21, 2019, notice in Tamarisk tree, but one of those numbers beside 322, it says 558. You see that? Did you know that Isaiah 44 is on page 558 of your book of Yahweh? No, you didn't. That's why I told you. And you know, 558 means strength of Yahweh. What a coincidence. Wow. Can I have my next slide? Now on Yahweh 17, one of Yahweh's great priests, I got a call and he showed me this, sent me this picture on Yahweh 17 of a rainbow. Notice, going over the homestead right there. He's traveling east on 254. This was on Yahweh 17. Notice, Yahweh 17, 1074. Wow, what a coincidence. And look, that's one of Pastor's lot numbers, 17. Wow. And remember, I just told you, this was at 5:58 p.m., and I just told you 558 is Isaiah 44:3 on page 558, and it means strength of Yahweh. All right, next slide. I'm almost done. I got to get these in. Now, ponder this for a moment. In Acts 2:17, it talks about the pouring out of Spirit Holy, okay? And notice the number 1260. Well, that's talking about the 3.5 years, the 42 moons, those days cast about with darkness. House of Yahweh, we're going to need this to get through this last 3.5 years. Are you filling your lamps? Yes, you are. You're here and you're watching from abroad. Fill your lamps with this golden oil. It's the strength of Yahweh that's going to get you through this, that's going to get us through this. These gifts... Man, there's so much more on this that's coming. Just buckle your seatbelts, as the great Kohan tells you. Okay, now, Daniel 7:25. Remember about the time, and dividing of times. Now, my final slide. This should really be interesting. Don't show it yet. Before you do that, play the clip. Just two. This is this morning.
I'd like to learn what the scriptures say. Reading of Yahshua, their little faces filled with wonder. I can see their love for Yahweh growing strong. All of them listening carefully to every word that's being read. And now I understand that nothing will ever compare to Yahweh's peaceful words filling the air. As Father reads the scriptures to us every night.
this on record.
Praise Yahweh! It's going to be a wonderful day!
Hey, as you can see, we have a lot of catching up to do, okay, with our great pastor. We have a lot of catching up to do. But this is all coming, just notice, this all came together, just all this thing culminated today. Do you understand that? Do you see the pieces of the team that Yahweh put together? You're a beautiful team, man. Beautiful team. All right, so let's show the last slide. This is today's date. Let me read it to you. Today's date is Yahweh 21. 4/27/2019, the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread. Notice whose tag is there. Drop the zero. And notice the number to the left, 1061. 1074 means make the firstborn, new fruit. And it's from 1061, that same number to the left. And it means first fruits. First fruits. You're the first fruits of Yahweh. And notice in the Greek, it means race. It means a race. Were they not just running the race? It means family. That's you, House of Yahweh. Generation. This generation that began in 1934. Man, this is beautiful. Give reverence to Yahweh. At this time, I got to move over for the next speaker. If you'd all please stand. It's been a great honor and privilege. And I'd like to turn it over now to one of Yahweh's great, great priests, the great Kohen Yehuda Hawkins.
So, please be seated. Please take your books of Yahweh and turn to page 539. We're going to look at Isaiah 14, verse 21. When I was asked to look at this scripture and research the work on it, one of the things that I found out is very interesting is Yahweh does things totally opposite to what people that think God is more important want. This scripture, when we get through with it, and then some other information that I was asked to bring today, hopefully will also make you feel very much better about everything, because today I will not talk about anything that's going to be negative at all. No gloom and doom. Now, I'm not saying we're not supposed to talk about it, but today you are getting meat. Today, most certainly, you're getting cherry pie with ice cream on it. So look at Isaiah 14:21. Prepare slaughter for his children. Oh boy. Because of the iniquity, the law breaking of their fathers, so that they may not rise, possess the earth, and fill the face of the world with cities. In other words, the Holocaust is fixing to pick up more steam than it ever had, if this scripture was telling the truth. The word prepare that is written in Isaiah 14:21 is translated from the Hebrew word hakun. This word is listed on page 643 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which shows this word means to be raised on high of the mountain of the house of Yahweh. Isaiah verses 2, verses 2, Micaiah 4:1, to be founded, to be established. Okay, that should tell you something right there. The word slaughter that is written in Isaiah 14:21 is translated from the Hebrew word matavak. This word is listed on page 516 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means to prepare a feast or to have a feast. The phrase, because of the iniquity that is written in Isaiah 14:21 is translated from the Hebrew compound word ba'owan, this which is composed of the Hebrew word ba and the word owan. The Hebrew word ba is listed on page 172 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which shows this word means house. The Hebrew word Owan is listed on page 1025 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius Ferber. So this word means to dwell, to settle, to abide of men. And it ends up by saying Yahweh. The word not that is written in Isaiah 14:21 is translated from the Hebrew word bow. This word is listed on page 205 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament, Julius Ferber, which shows this is the original form of the name Abel. Now, we haven't talked a lot about Abel this feast because there were so many other things to talk about. We are working hard to see that all of you know Yahweh is with Abel. He is not with Jerusalem, Rome, or anywhere else. He's coming here. He's not going there. The word fathers that is written in Isaiah 14:21 is translated from the Hebrew word abutam. This word is listed on page 4 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius Ferber, which shows this word means Father Yahweh. The word earth that is written in Isaiah 14:21 is translated from the Hebrew word aratz. This word is listed on page 153 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius Ferber, which shows this word means the universe. So what the scripture is saying is the house of Yahweh will be established for his children to keep the feast, for they will dwell at Abel with Father Yahweh so that they may rise, possess, and fill everywhere in the universe with their people. So it's all positive. And now, don't close your book of Yahweh, but you can put your notes on top of it if you need it for a table. We're going to talk about two people, Maggie Mae Hawkins and Otis Hawkins, pastors' parents. The word Maggie is an old English name that means pearl. Of course, the Mormons would say she's a pearl of great price, but this woman could never have been bought like that. The word pearl that is written one time in the Holy Scriptures, Yashub 28:18, is translated from the Hebrew word gabish. This word is listed on page 150 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and page 122 of a complete Hebrew and English critical and pronouncing dictionary by William L. Roy, which shows this word means crystal, a family of returning exiles to collect or to gather or to unite. Okay, keep that in mind. Gabish. That's Maggie. The Hebrew name she would have had would be Gabish. Or Gabishia. May. Another spelling of the word, a name is Maya, the name of a Greek goddess of spring. Now, I'm not going to trace it around in the Greek, but I can tell you the word spring caught my eye. The Dictionary of Old Testament Theology and Exegesis by William Van Gimeren, Volume 3, page 643, shows that the time period called spring traces the Hebrew word Pesach, in that the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread are a feast that is kept in the spring. So, her middle name would have been Pesach, talking about her doing things in the spring, like keeping Passover. The word Hawkins, the name Hawkins traced back to the Hebrew word Kahan, in its alternate form Kohen or Kohan. This word is listed as word 3547-3548 in a Hebrew dictionary of the New Strong's Expanded Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, which shows this word means priest. So this is what Maggie Mae Hawkins' name would have been in the language spoken by Yahshua, Moshe, David, and the other men of Yahweh. The name would be Gabishia Pesach Hawkins. Now let's hear what that name means. What all this means is the name Gabishia Pesach Hawkins means Yahweh caused her to begin the gathering of the exiles of the house of Yahweh, the family Yahweh, to return them to be in unity with his priests at Abel. Now, Otis Hawkins was a little bit easier to work with And it's a lot shorter, but sometimes, as they used to say, dynamite comes in small packages. The name Otis is an old Germanic and Greek word that means wealthy. The Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, Volume 1, page 354, shows this word traces back to the Arabic word halam and means friend. A Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, pages 1306 and 1307, shows the Hebrew word that means friend is a Hebrew word reu, or roah. And guess what? That also means a guide, guidance. And who is the guidance of the children? Who? Anybody tell me? The father and the mother, the parents. You're exactly right. Okay, the name Hawkins. It traces back to the Hebrew word Kohan again, or Kohan. This word is listed as word 3547, 3548 in the Hebrew dictionary of the New Strong's Expanded Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, which shows this word means priest. Otis Hawkins' name in Hebrew would be Reu Hawkins and would mean a friend of Yahweh's priest. And are not your parents supposed to be your best friends? So that's what it's all about. And one thing that I felt was really great about Isaiah 14:21, it tells the story of the plan of Yahweh using Otis Hawkins and Maggie Mae Hawkins, who were known as Gabisha Hawkins and Reu Hawkins, to begin that great work where the house of Yahweh would be established for his children to keep the feast. For they will dwell at Abel with Father Yahweh so that it may rise, possess, and fill everyone in the universe with their people. They started it up. And a finished product, of course, is somebody named Israel Abel Hawkins. I wonder who that is. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And now, please stand. And while you're standing, I just thought of something. I have it here and I put it in a book and almost missed it. Everybody knows what a great mother and wife Maggie Mae Hawkins was. I want you to put in your notes, look at Proverbs 31 verses 10 through 21, or 10 through 31. It is about the virtuous woman. And I call on everyone, whether you're a mom, whether you're a daughter, whether you're single, whether you're married, who, if you are a sister in the faith or you're coming here for the first time, make a copy of that page, Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31, and pin it on your wall. Maggie Mae Hawkins was that type of woman. Put "Remember Maggie Mae" on that wall with that proverb. And we all need to live up to it. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I turn the services over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins. If I can get these pages up.
Please be seated, everyone. Please write down to keep this in your mind as we go through this news today. It's extremely important to never forget these things, always to rehearse them. Remember the quartet that was established in 2002. Pastor brought forth that power is given to them in Revelation chapter 6. The four living creatures consisting of Russia, the United States, the European Union, and the UN. And remember these ruling powers because they're going to be in the news. And some of it is to show the complete ignorance where they cannot even comprehend the basic safety of the human race. And some of it is to show that there's contention. But with all of these things going on, they're still all involved in this peace plan, this peace treaty that is to be signed. I want to show you this headline to this article first. It says, Russia, this is Russia speaking, world no longer trusts U.S. to lead. It's time others step in to stop blackmail and pressure. Now, that came across Newsweek. That first came out the 12th day of this Roman month and was re-released again this morning. But I want to read you what it says. And this was Russia's top diplomat, that's Sergei Lavrov. That is the he would be equal to the Secretary of State here in the United States. But it says, Russia's top diplomat has argued that the world is losing faith in the United States as a global leader and that the international community has sought a more diverse approach to global decision-making. At an annual address to Moscow's Diplomatic Academy, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov held on Friday a new geopolitical era marked by a multipolarity, stating that the emergence of new centers of power to maintain stability in the world requires the search for a balance of interest and compromise. He said there was a shift in the center of global economic power from east to east from west, where a liberal order marked by globalization was losing its attractiveness and is no more viewed as a perfect model for all. Now, he goes on to say, in order to artificially retain their dominance to regain indisputable positions, they employ various methods of pressure and blackmail to coerce economically and through the use of information. You could also say through the use of propaganda. It says the Trump administration has repeatedly threatened sanctions against several nations, including allies, for not adhering to its policies targeting stated foes such as Iran, North Korea, Syria, and Venezuela. While Moscow has complained about what it saw as Washington's hegemony around the world, the Trump administration has named Russia an adversary in critical strategic documents, most recently in the 2019 Missile Defense Review, as Russia works toward building new nuclear-capable hypersonic and cruise missiles, the U.S. scrambles to build a new defense capable of intercepting them even from space. But remember how Malachi Martin and pastors brought this for years, that Russia will be they'll be vying for a top spot in these last days. Remember, Russia joins itself with China. Then you have the United States. And, of course, you have the Vatican setting to side, hoping to come out on top themselves. But the U.S. ambassador sent a message to Russia the other day. It was this week. And he said, we have diplomacy that we want to deal with you in. And he said, we have 200,000 tons of diplomacy waiting in the Mediterranean Sea for you. And they're aircraft carriers. They're warships. And that's a threat to Russia. That's what they're offering Russia. Stay out of what we're doing. Because keep in mind, the United States is that second beast who says, let us be like the first beast. Anybody that doesn't agree with that is going against the first beast. And that won't work. That's not going to work for this confrontation that we see that's going to come from it. That's where it's going to come from. Remember what the most lucrative thing on the face of this earth is, and it's oil. And we see in Revelation 6:6, hurt not the oil and the wine, because it hurts a way of living. Well, they tell Russia to cease destabilizing the world. In other words, stop messing with what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring everybody to be like the first beast, and you're not helping. You need to stay out of it. And, of course, Russia is fighting against it. And then, of course, while the Feast of Passover was going on, they also had a conference on the Belt Road Initiative. Remember, that's to reestablish the Silk Roads that China once had, and that's to create a whole economical system to where they can buy, sell, and trade outside of the United States. That Belt Road Initiative totally bypasses the United States, and they were not even at the conference. There were 37 country leaders, such as Vladimir Putin. We're talking about real presidential representation. And then 70 other countries sent lower representation, but the United States sent no one at all and really was not even welcome to it because it's created to get around the sanctions that's being given. And then the UN, I think this article will speak for itself outside of, watch the foolishness. These are supposed to be a group of people that bring peace. And they're discussing how rape is acceptable in war and how maybe they should do something about it. Now, when you define that as acceptable, you didn't hear the age as a child, an adult. They're just saying it's acceptable ways of war. So they're trying to decide what should they do with it. And the foolishness that goes on with that, that is truly a character flaw, as you can see, in the UN and in this beastly system, to where they really don't care about people. They only care about themselves and what they can accomplish. And remember, war is to rule by force, and that put the fear in people is what they're looking to do. And then the U.S. says it looks to end. If you remember, they granted waivers through the oil sale of Iran. There were countries buying oil such as China, South Korea, Turkey. There was one other, India. They were buying oil from Iran. The United States sanctioned them, but they said, since you're our allies, we'll give you some time to finish winging yourself off of this oil. So we'll give you a waiver, and then you're going to have to pull off. Well, China has said, the United States released this week, the waivers are done. You will need to quit buying oil from Iran. And China said, you need to stay out of our business. We're going to do what we want to do. Now, they buy half of all of Iranian oil, and they do not use the petrodollar. They use the petro-won to buy these things. Turkey, India, and the others are using their own currency. They're not using the petrodollar. So in reality, sanctions doesn't really affect them. They don't have to stop if they don't want to. They can continue, but the United States has said, if you don't, we will sanction you directly, telling them that we will economically affect you. And these are these trade wars that we see coming up. And then Iran has said that if they are sanctioned in such a way to where their oil is reduced, they will shut down the Strait of Hormuz. Now, the Strait of Hormuz, one-fifth of all oil trade passes through that strait. That is a very enormous, as far as monetary value, it's one of the most richest ways of transporting in ports or canals that actually creates money on a global scale because oil is desired and used by everyone. With all of this put together, the United States says if you shut it down, we will open it if by force if necessary. So we're seeing this tension all building up between these systems, these governments that pastors brought out for years, taking place in and around the great river Euphrates. Even when you see in Venezuela, when you see what's going on in Venezuela, remember the countries they're fighting with are over in that fourth part of the earth. But it's over Venezuela oil, but they're fighting with countries in that fourth part of the earth over by the in and around the great river Euphrates. And then the peace plan. Notice how Russia is being petitioned by Palestine because they want to put forth this two-state solution, and Palestine is looking to Russia to do so. So watch how Russia's coming back, getting involved. Remember, they're a part of the quartet. It's prophesied they would be involved, and you have all this negotiation. But with the end, it says that we should be looking for a release of a peace plan that has been very secretive. We should see that in the sixth Roman month is what they're saying. So this is coming very close to being released. And everybody is doing their bartering and decision-making and agreement-making behind the scenes. So very soon we are to look for this peace plan to be released. At this time, if we could please play the news. At this time, if everyone would please stand, I'd like to introduce the great Kahan Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom. You may be seated just for a moment, quick moment. Can you show the slide, that last slide in the slideshow? I got a little bit tripped up. I wanted to mention something. I don't know if you all saw, but there's a picture there of a rainbow. You see that rainbow there? That's the blue school, and it's looking toward, that's the west, northwest corner. This was at 7:16 a.m., and guess what was taking place right then when this rainbow was seen? That race that pastor was running with the boys was taking place exactly right there in that spot. Is that not amazing? And I want you to remember Psalm 19 that talks about the race. 7:16 is a number that you keep hearing during this feast. Remember the loop, 322, was established on 7:16, 1957. 1957 means to bear witness, okay? To bear witness. And read the side notes there of Psalm 19, 5 and 6 about the feast circuit, the circuit, that, and it goes to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the world, okay, the ends of the earth. So at this time, if you'd all please stand, it's my great honor to turn it back over to the great Kahan Ilya Hawkins.
You can remain standing at this time. I'd like to introduce Yahweh's seventh Malach, the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Wow, shalom. Hey, we still got a full house, a full house. Praise Yahweh. You see him, Father? Father Yahweh. Be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I got that right this morning. You notice? I left off that goddess name. Beautiful. The beautiful crowd. Oh, boy. I know Yahweh can hardly wait to turn the power over to you. I see such righteousness here. It is really beautiful. Last day. Now, we got 44 days left to Pentecost. 44 at the 44. That's got to mean something. By the way, don't forget to take your butter back with you. Your butter, eggs, and milk, and cheese. They said it's going to get old before Pentecost, so don't forget it. Take yours back with you. I think that Pentecost now is on the second day of the week, so you won't have time to get here if you come on a first day. Now, you need to start about fifth day of the week before and get here for the Sabbath, weekly Sabbath also, right? Right? Then we'll have a three-day feast. Have a three-day feast. Three, that number three is special also. That even sounds great, a three-day feast. Three-day feast. Beautiful. Find my place here in a minute. Last day of the feast. It's not long, as you could see from the news there. Now, Pentecost, they're supposed to start the plan back up. I think that's on about 4 days before Pentecost. Nuclear war could start the next day. Looks like it's going to, the way the nations are so angry. This morning, I was handed an article about the Philippines, and they had bypassed the petrodollar, taken all their trade to China. They said this was so in the Philippines too. This won't work. Iran is threatening to block the straits, and of course, if they do, that won't work. That's an enticement for war. Everything is looking war, and it's looking 3.5 years. That's the key to this whole thing. Genesis 1:26, Adam and Eve would have been able right now, had they have not given in to the temptations of Satan. Now, the apostles talked about that and talked about how easily that could come about. And, of course, you think everyone is sound and in the truth. Only each person has got to set their own determination, either for righteousness or for evil. Follow the gods, be evil like the gods. It starts off so smoothly, you know. It's not against the law for me to go to town. It's not against the law to do this or that. And that starts the ball to rolling against Yahweh, because you could take that same time and start cramming for this final exam that we're going to have, because I'm really building you up with Yahweh and in telling Him what I see in you and how you could rule the world, how you could never give in to Satan like Adam did and Eve did. But it's that this little bit of dying, a little bit of temptation that they took, we're not told what. It could have been thoughts or dreams, you know, or just thinking about it and letting it become lust in them. It could have been that started the ball to rolling in that direction. But that started their body to dying and their brain to dying. And, of course, that is what took away the subconscious mind eventually, cut down on the span of life, the years of life. People were living to be almost 1,000 years old at that time. But it cut it down, and it's still cutting it down. We have people dying in their teens, babies being born sick that have no opportunity of life or even a suitable enjoyment of family life. But it started dying away. And of course, it's being renewed every year, you know, in the people's minds and in the people's bodies. So the sickness and disease is coming on. But you're the generation, brethren, that's going to resurrect the dead. You're going to gain this back that was given to Adam and Eve. You'll be able to contain more knowledge than all the computers in the world. Now, this is not just my talk. This is proven scientific fact about the subconscious mind. You'll be able, you'll know how. The many techniques, the many chemistries, everything that it takes to put a body back together, call it from the dust of the earth. Think about that. From the dust of the earth. That's how Yahweh made us. That's how He made mankind. From the dust of the earth. You're going to have that power. Satan did, but she lost it. And then Adam and Eve, they could have had it. Abel also. Noah was really close to it. Think about building that ark. If you read about that and the magnificence of that ark that he built, not only does the Bible, your Bible or the book of Yahweh, tell about this flood, it's also a matter of history in the earth's layers. They know this. They can prove that this flood came. So if you're still an unbeliever there, get one of these books on the flood. There's many of them out there. I read it years ago, one. Got the book taken away from me later, but had it all marked up and and using it. But I remember the proof that they gave, scientific proof about this flood. But think about building that ark. Building an ark that would house all of these animals. And then the big job came, the really intelligence, the ability of Noah to call these animals into the ark, have them enter the ark. It wasn't a hocus-pocus, diddledy-docus thing. This man did this. Yahweh didn't do it for him. When he put mankind here on earth, he told heaven what he was going to see out of mankind. And he's proven it to heaven and earth, what mankind can and will do,
And it's going to be finished in this generation. This magnificent power and ability is going to be finished in this generation. You're going to be able to raise the dead. This says a lot. It's not just raising the dead. Think about what it takes to raise the dead. You're talking about creation. There's only one being in the universe that can create from nothing. And he's going to make man in his image after his likeness and give him authority to do it. Well, you're the generation. Now, you will start with seeing these scriptures right now, but because you have this in your mind. You have this ability that you're missing right now. You're missing it, but we know where it is. We know that we were created with it. But I just started you on the scriptures here. There's no way I could cover it in a year. All that's in here about just naming the animals. You know, the scripture is full of this. But if you look over to Colossians, I'll show you one scripture there that where the apostles talked about this thing, and I'll point it out to you. Colossians 3, a book hardly ever read, hardly ever used. Got a lot of knowledge in it, but in Colossians 3, and look at verse 5 here. 3 verse 5, he says, "Therefore put to death the evil passions." Well, he's talking about the evil like the gods that you see in Genesis 3. Put these to death, he says, this evil that is in your members, in your members, the members of your body, which are on the earth. The members of your body, you're made up of kingdoms, remember? Kingdoms of microorganisms. There's several kingdoms in each eye that's letting you read that book right now. Several kingdoms, micro kingdoms made up of tens of thousands of microorganisms that are too small to see, but they're making it possible for you to see. Making it possible for me to talk and you to hear what I say. Think how great that is. You're going to be given that ability to create this. And these members put to death the evil members because they're killing this ability faster than it can develop. Otherwise, you'd be developing this ability to live forever. You took it away from yourselves. Remember Genesis 3? And it won't be given back to you. It's got to be earned and learned and determined through and submission with submission. The only way you can get it is with submission to Yahweh's laws, obedience to Yahweh. You can't get it otherwise. You can't be disobedient in anything, not one single thing. Jacob said, if you break one of these laws, you're guilty of all. One. Yeshua said, if you lust after so-and-so, you've already committed adultery. See, that's how perfect you're going to have to become, determined to become. Practice it. And that's what he's telling you here, to practice this. Practice getting rid of the death. Therefore, put to death the evil that is in your members, the members of your body, which are on earth. And then he tells you where they start there. Start with the eyes, as Yeshua said.
seeing and then lusting, and Jacob said letting the lust develop, but it starts the ball to rolling in the direction of killing you. Death, fornication, uncleanness. You got to remember that, because the unclean animals were actually taken into the ark, Noah's ark. Unclean animals and clean animals were all taken. It's a necessary thing. It's a necessary thing for the microorganisms to supply joy to your body. It's a necessary thing to keep the earth cleaned. Keep the earth cleaned. Yes, earth is given to man. We're going to enjoy it to the fullest. Uncleanness, passions, that is, you know what there are in your body. Practice getting rid of them, unholy desires, all greed, covetousness, which are idolatry. You see that? Now, that's not adultery. It's God worship. It's idolatry. It means God worship. Which are God worship. It is on account of these things that the judgment of Yahweh is coming upon the children. Now, he's not bringing this upon anyone, but he has judged that if you do this, you're going to suffer this. And that's what this is saying right here. It's on account of this that these judgments that he prophesied is being fulfilled in your body right now. On the children of what? Do you see that? Disobedience. The children of disobedience. So get the disobedience out of your life. Practice getting it out of your life. This is what he's saying. Right. If you put together First Yochanan, it tells you righteousness is he who practices righteousness is righteous. Yahweh knows you're wanting to overcome. He can see that you're wanting to. Every aspect of disobedience, he wants you to overcome, and the only way you can do it is practice it. And you show him by your practice that you're wanting to. Among which you also once walked when you lived in them. But now you must also put away all these from your mouth. Anger. This is what Cain started with, if you remember. And Yahweh says, sin is at your door. You better be acceptable. Make yourself acceptable and by practicing these laws, if you'll practice righteousness, you'll get rid of it. He told him that. From your mouth, anger, rage, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you are putting off the old man. The old man was the Adam. Adam and Eve and the rest of the world that followed him, that became violent very quickly because they were very, very knowledgeable people, and they very knowledgeably took things that did not belong to them. And the scripture shows that they made themselves gods. Yes, they made themselves into gods, and they took what they took. They didn't buy it. They took it. They stole it from one another. This brought forth wars and violence. That's all in the third chapter of Genesis, right in the beginning, taught to us. Man with his practices. Now, let me read that again. Do not lie to one another, since you are putting off. You're putting off the old man with his practices and putting on the new. Putting on the new. If you'll read this closely, you'll get it. You'll understand it. I've preached on it for several days. And the putting on of the new, who is being renewed. Yes, Adam is being renewed now. If you're doing it, you caught it then? Did you catch that, what he said? You're putting off the old man who is being, you are putting on the new man who is being renewed. Your mind is being renewed. Renewed. That's what he's talking about. This is what I talked about yesterday. Been talking about it for several years here and there, but I brought it out a little plainer yesterday. This new man, this man that is being renewed, had the power to name every animal on earth, had the ability to name every animal on earth. Remember that word ability. We'll get back. We'll see it again, too. Renewed in full knowledge. Did you get that? Knowledge. Remember the increase in knowledge? I told you about this giant computer in Brussels, Belgium. They're so proud of their computers. Our computers will guide this missile to a hairbreadth. In David's day, we had people with slingshots that could sling a rock to a hairbreadth. They were all left-handed. The scriptures mentions that. What does he mean? What does that amount to? Don't take anything lightly. Study it out. Don't waste your time going to town. Yes, when you waste your time, you can't buy it back. There's no way. You know, it's gone. Now, you could have put this left-handed person in your mind and know what it's talking about. Or you could put this great knowledge here. That's part of this great knowledge. Everything Yahweh puts in the scriptures has a meaning. And most of it has a deeper meaning. It makes me think, you know, Satan is hiding this. Literally hiding it from the people because she keeps deterring people. She can entice you. She can motivate you. She's allowed to do that. It's necessary that you have this and that you show Yahweh you can overcome it. The influence that she has on the human mind is pretty great. Adam had a lot of knowledge. He was next to Yeshua. He'd have been walking on water. He'd have been healing the sick. He would have been rebuilding the bodies of mankind. He had that kind of knowledge to begin with, and he lost it. Well, now we're renewing that knowledge to come back to the full knowledge. The full knowledge. And look who it mentions there. The full knowledge according to the image of him who is creating him. That's Yahweh, the full knowledge. Now that's what we're coming to. We'll never catch up with him, but we're coming to that. We're renewing that right now as we learn the Holy Scripture. I've told you for years, the scriptures, they're the source of all knowledge. It's hidden. Satan has done a great job to hide it. I remember looking up the word swine. That it's an unused, the root is unused. So if it's unused, as David and I agreed, and we all agreed on this book when we wrote it, and using the unused words, the unused Hebrew words, but nobody can read them. So we were the only ones that knew what they meant. Well, they said it's unused. The Hebrew word is unused, which
is translated swine in the King James Version. But in that Hebrew word was all kinds of details about that animal that Adam named. And in that word that he used is unused in Hebrew, totally unknown in Greek. Why would it be unknown when we're translating, when they translated the Hebrew to Greek? Why would they left it? Why did they not even have it? But that's what Strong's Concordance will tell you. I think it's Strong's. Will tell you it's unused in the Hebrew and it's unknown in Greek. But Adam had to name it. Noah had to build a special place for it in the ark. In fact, all the unclean animals had to be kept separate from the clean. And so they had to know this, both of them, Noah and Adam, who named the swine. It wasn't swine. It wasn't called swine. I'm going to leave it to you to look it up. Find out what the Hebrew calls it. It'll also tell you, it'll give you several pages of stuff that you can look at and that actually describe that animal, what it does, what it's for. It's an animal that can eat your sewage. In fact, they wallow around in their own. And the Hebrew word describes this. They get their nose down in it. They roll it around in their mouth. They twist, roll it around with their tongue in their mouth. They pick out what they want to swallow from it. Now, apparently they didn't want this known in Greek because they wanted Circe to pick up the dead bodies, feed them to the swine, and then eat the swine. So she ate her enemies. Her enemies. Her enemies were the ones that told her the truth. You know, when I was 17 and wanting to write the commentary, I told Mother one day, I said, well, this is going to be easy. I said, all I've got to do is go to the leaders and tell them what I know. And they're going to hug my neck. They're going to be so glad when I tell them what they're doing that's causing them trouble. Well, that same age, I went to see my brother-in-law, who was a Free Will Baptist preacher, by the way. I think my sister wouldn't have married anyone else but a religious man. But I told him what was wrong, and I found out how much he loved me for it. How angry he got. He even threw his Bible, threw it against the wall. This was just before bedtime, and my sister was waiting in the bedroom door with a smile on her face when we was doing this talking. I don't think they got much sleep that night. I don't think he got much sleep. But it's a harder job, you know, to tell a person, you eat this stuff will destroy your brain. You listen to this music, it cuts down on your IQ. If you listen closely in one ear, you can hear your IQ dropping. Well, it's almost that bad. Well, they know this now scientifically. This article says World Health officials take a hard line on screen time for kids. They don't say anything about the grown-ups, but it's the same. It destroys their mind. And they get to where they're quoting these goofy characters that's taking this as a joke, but they take it seriously. And they start putting this in their mind, and you'll see them quoting it every now and then if you talk to them long. Will busy parents comply? How much should How much should a parent resort to videos and online games to entertain, educate, or simply distract their children? Well, what about themselves? How much time do you need to do this? The answer, according to the World Health Organization, is never. Don't ever let your children get a hold of this stuff. I'm telling you, and I've been telling the world now for years, don't eat pork. Pork is full of stuff that you really don't want in your body. Now, when that occurred, and we started putting this out, and I put it out when I was working in the State Board of Health laboratories, and I told farmers this. Well, they started trying to clean up the pig pen. And they built them up off of the ground so the pig couldn't get down in there and wallow in it. Of course, that's better, I guess, but it still doesn't clean this meat or what's inside this pig's body. And even though they keep them, you know, rubber boot and rubber gloves clean, they still got trichna and all the things that they were created with that the Hebrew word describes. Well, it says the mind. The World Health Organization due on emerging, but as yet unsettled science about the risk of screen posed to the development of young minds. I would like to add there the old minds also. Time watching smartphones and other mobile devices, it just should never be done. Experts in child development say the acquisition of language and social skills typically by interacting with parents. This is what you need. Interacting with parents and others are among the most important cognitive tasks of childhood. That's the most important thing that a adult can do is get in touch with a House of Yahweh member and actually start associating with that member who can't talk very long without talking scripture, because that's what's in their mind. So they start talking great knowledge, perfect knowledge that Yahweh gave them. And if the world would just find them a House of Yahweh member and start socializing with them, right away they will start growing, and then they'll start protecting their health and also their mind. Early childhood is a period of rapid development and a time when family lifestyle patterns like the lamplight vigils, lifestyle patterns can be adapted to boost health, to boost the health gains, it said. Now, on the other hand, the same thing, when you use the evil like the gods, this deteriorates the mind, deteriorates the body. There's sickness and disease all over the world right now. We would wipe ourselves out given time with just sickness and disease. That won't go that long because the world is full of violence. It's full of corruption. Everybody's mind is corrupted. We are renewing it right now. We're renewing the mind with righteousness, which will bring about peace, joy, and love. That's what Yahweh's way brings. They are not renewing their minds. They're renewing their weapons of war. They're selling weapons to people who they don't want to own weapons. They're selling nuclear bombs to nations who they don't want to own nuclear bombs. They're selling technology to build them. North Korea could have never built that without American technology or Russian technology. They didn't have it.
but they got it now. Well, we're renewing the mind. We got up to verse 10 there. Notice, now this is what I'm talking about. You know, they lost it. Mankind lost this, and it's deteriorated down to where we can't foretell the future. We can't take the dust and get the dust to obey us to put even a flea together. We can't do any of that. Adam could have, Eve could have, Abel could have, and Noah. All of those had it. But suddenly, it wasn't a sudden thing like, I gave it so I'll just take it away from you. It wasn't that. Yahweh would not allow it to be renewed and used for evil purposes. But they had enough of it already, and it speeded up things tremendously, as you can see in the third chapter, how, by looking at the fourth chapter, what he did, and the continual war and what it brought, and then the corruption of the earth, which brought about the flood. No, Yahweh didn't bring the flood. Yahweh didn't kill anybody. They brought it on themselves, and Noah was telling them, this, that place, what you're doing is going to bring a flood, and it's going to wipe you out. And for over 100 years, that man spent building an ark and putting these animals in it. Quite a task to even build the ark. You couldn't do that. He didn't have electricity. Well, maybe he didn't. I don't know what he had, but he built a dandy ark that floated and withstood these floods that lasted for days and days with animals inside, feeding them, nourishing them, getting ready to let it settle down on earth again. You know, if you just think about what this man did, you could see this man was smart. I would say walking on water is no comparison to what he displayed in that ark. Walking on water, yes, that proves something else. The microorganisms will obey you. And you can use the microorganisms, and they will obey you to do this, even move a mountain and cast it into the sea, as Yeshua said, if you follow this. Well, let me finish this before I quit. Renew in full knowledge. In full knowledge. Well, the knowledge that I'm trying to get you to see is naming the animals. naming the animals, you might think you can, especially if you're 16. I thought I could when I was that age. I know now there ain't no way. In fact, I think if the animals didn't have a name right now, I'm thinking with all the scientific computerized stuff that we have, it'd still be impossible. I don't think man's ability right now would be able to name animals as to what's in and give them the description that Adam did, showing what that animal is made for, what he's made to do, what makes him up, is he clean, unclean? Should I put a could in there with him? Or take the could out? I don't think there's any way that man's ability right now, with all their scientific evidence and all, I don't think they could name these animals. And they've lost it. They lost it with the Hebrew words. It's unused. The Hebrew word is unused. So we had to go to the scriptures. I did. And I started going from scripture to scripture and putting it all together. And here you come up with an animal that Yahweh tells you it's unfit for food. That's one thing. No, it doesn't have a could. Who would know what a could was today? Does he chew a could? Well, you lost me. Right there, that's as far as I could go. What's the quid for? The cow's got it. The cow's clean. I wonder how many, if I asked you to hold up your hand, how many could tell me what a quid does and what it does for you with that animal having a quid to begin with, what it actually does for you. Well, it's all in that Hebrew word, and the word quid is not a Hebrew word. You'll have to look that up to find out what a quid is. Don't waste your time, brethren. Yahweh knows how much you love the truth. Show him. Spend your time showing him. I'll guarantee you, you won't be sorry for it. In a few more months, things are going to start to take place. In fact, by Pentecost, I'm hoping, 4 days before Pentecost, 4-4 on the 44. 4-4 on the 44. That's got to mean something, men and women. Yahweh bless you. I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.